No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I'm feeling very, very, very lucky to have one of my favorite guys on the show, Action Bronson. How you doing, bro?
Thank you very much for that. That's a beautiful intro.
Okay, so this is why. I remember when you first came out. Yep. I remember the Dr. Lecter album. That was the first one I heard. I was like, man, you know, I like this guy. And it was particularly eerie for me because, you know, I'm a white guy. I was living in Queens for 7 years. You come out. I'm like, you know, I just moved to LA, so I'm feeling a little bit homesick and everything. And then you come out and you're rapping your ass off, goes without saying. You got a lot of great beats and everything, even back then. Like, I feel like even back then, like, your rap style was so, like, well-formed, even super early on.
I don't know how. Yeah. I appreciate that, man. It was like, at that time, I feel like it was just unconscious, you know what I mean? That's how you make the best stuff when you're not trying to do anything. I was brand new. I never fucking rapped before.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the kitchen. I liked fucking taking steroids and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't give a fuck about rap. I enjoy rap, but yeah. I like fucking taking steroids and deadlifting and shit like that. And
that's what I like so much about it.
Driving cars.
I was like, you know, because I just left Queens. I just left Brooklyn. All of a sudden, I'm in L.A. And then you come out, and I'm like, this is my kind of New Yorker right here. Because, you know, what I liked about it was that you weren't scared to be smart on your shit from day one. You had tons of references that nobody was going to fucking get.
Of course.
I'm talking about Dorian Yates. Oh, I'm like, I can't believe this guy knows who Dorian Yates is.
Damn, that's one of my favorite men in the world, man.
You know, he was on Joe Rogan the other day.
Was he really?
Yeah, he did like 2 hours with
him. Oh, yeah, I saw them smoking fucking stupid weed.
Yeah.
Yo, Dorian Yates, man. Like, I always say underneath this physique,
right,
I'm like Dorian Yates, you know?
But DeLorean Waits.
Exactly. There's no doubt about that. Man, fuck, yo, I feel like in another life I was Mr. Olympia.
You've always had stuff to say like
man.
That.
Yeah. Do you like World's Strongest Man? You ever watch that?
Oh, I don't really have TV anymore, but I'm down.
Yo.
Pick a rock up over your head. That
exactly.
Shit's amazing.
Picking rocks up, fucking the fingers. You gotta fucking walk with some crazy iron thing and fucking flip it over.
I love that shit, even though I personally don't aspire to do that so much.
It's not aspire, it's just some fucking, it's amazing.
Mm. I like a man.
I love ice skating also.
See, okay, there you go.
That's where we go with the elegance.
So you've definitely said Nancy Kerrigan in a bar before, right?
I might have said Nancy Kerrigan, but I go more for like, who do I like? Scott Hamilton.
Yes, there you go. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or who else do I like? I like Yamaguchi.
Yeah, Yamaguchi.
I used to fuck with Yamaguchi big time.
That's funny because that makes me think about the fact that I grew up in a household with multiple women, because why the fuck else would I know about ice skating if I didn't just grow up around my mom and my sister talking about it in the mid-90s when that was a big part of the culture at that time.
See, you know, we're at the same spot, man. A lot of people wouldn't understand that. Like, my Albanian grandmother loved to watch ice skating.
Mm.
So that's what we would watch. It's like Channel 7 or some shit.
Yeah.
She'd be sitting there knitting, fucking watching people spin.
Mm.
It's actually gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's something I remember fucking growing up. It was beautiful. The smell of bread and ice skating.
All right, guys, just want to take a quick little break here to send a shout out to MeUndies. That's our sponsor for this episode. They're the ones making it possible. MeUndies are the most comfortable underwear on earth. I've owned all different kinds of underwear. I can tell you that these ones really are the best. They're unbelievably soft. They feel amazing. They have something called a diamond seamed pouch cradle. Basically, it's a space special for your jewels, for your equipment, men. And it gives you the support you need without feeling too tight. It's more support than I've ever had in my entire life. And I got to be totally honest, being that it is National Underwear Month, it might be time for you to try MeUndies. Risk-free, because you can return them if you don't like them. If you don't like them, return them. No problem. So hit up MeUndies.com/NoJumper, and you can get 20% off your first pair. That's right, 20% off. MeUndies.com/NoJumper, 20% off your first pair. No problem. This is a big part of being a Rope Gang supporter, hitting up MeUndies.com, our most loyal advertiser, and showing them the support that they deserve right back to the Action Bronson interview. Boom, perfect.
Mother loved to watch ice skating,
So
that's what we would watch. It's like Channel 7 or some shit.
Yeah.
She'd be sitting there knitting, fucking watching people spin. It's actually gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's something I remember fucking growing up. It was beautiful. the smell of bread and ice skating.
That's what
figure skating, to be exact.
That's what I like, is that your lyrics have always included a lot of references to things that you knew about that you absolutely did not have to know about. Like ice skating or bodybuilding or
like
whatever.
Like where
you know?
You could buy wool on Jamaica Avenue to make like fucking blankets and, you know, different places to buy yarn.
Right.
I know these things. It was called Smiley's on Jamaica Avenue.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking useless knowledge now. What am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
I don't know how to knit. I don't know how to crochet.
But I still love it. I love that if somebody were to sit here and start up a bodybuilding competition, not a competition, we would probably fail pretty badly at that. But a conversation is
not
that,
anymore.
You know, you could just dive right in.
For sure.
Yeah.
Flex Wheeler. Fucking Phil Heath is at the top of the game these days.
Yeah,
man.
Phil Heath
you
is
know.
Still the god.
I'm a Ronnie Coleman guy myself. That's my range.
Mm-hmm. On the Dr. Lecter one, you had the song Ronnie Coleman, which from the moment I saw that, I'm like, no way. He knows about Ronnie Coleman.
I actually worked out next to him at one point.
Really?
I used to go to this gym in Forest Hills called Platinum Gym.
Okay.
A Buharian Russian guy owned it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was like a club pretty much. He would have all his boys there, all fucking white jumpsuits, Puma outfits, diesel jeans, smelling like all kinds of crazy shit I've never smelled before. Like Fahrenheit mixed with this, mixed with that. Crazy shit. Oh, and I used to that's where I used to shoot steroids in the basement with my man Musclehead Ed, aka Shrek. He was
Musclehead
Ed. That's
my
man right there, you know?
He's the same guy who hangs out with Mayhem Loren and Big Body Bess. He's got a friend named Musclehead Ed, of course.
He's been IFBB pro since high school.
Really?
One day we were just at the gym. I'm just there fucking, you know, in my chef pants. I just rode the bike over there. And he just walks in. He just fucking gets on the thing. He starts deadlifting like 5 plates on each side. And he just fucking leaves.
Astoria's got great bodybuilding culture, wouldn't you say? Because that's Queens in general. Sorry,
Queens in general. I mean Lou Ferrigno. You know, it usually happens in basements.
Yep.
The basement is a fucking underrated place for a lot of people. Like in New York City, you always like in New York in general. Maybe not the city, but Queens motherfuckers had a basement to go chill at. You know. I live in an apartment, but we went to the homie's basement where it all went down. All kinds of fuckery.
Studios.
Yeah,
working
smoking
out,
dust.
Smoking.
You know, shit like that. So, the basement is a fucking place where we usually get fucking buff. You go down there, you fucking put the music on, get fucking jacked out of your mind, drink protein.
Yes.
Sit.
See, that's what these kids these days are missing out on. They should be working out and drinking protein, not taking Xans and fucking clobbering themselves in the head and shit.
Yeah, man. You know, good thing I'm allergic to that type of shit, man.
You're allergic to Xanax or
I
just
think
everything?
So. I don't even know. I just can't do it. I remember I took a Xanax one time and went on a fucking plane to Australia 16 hours. I couldn't get up. My fucking leg was like this. I couldn't fucking walk.
Really?
It was almost a wrap.
That'll happen. You get on the flight
for
12, 15 hours. You get off. You're still fucked up.
I was fucking knocked out the whole time. They thought I was fucking dead.
That's crazy. So who was Action Bronson before like that Dr. Lecter album? Were you like a guy who was on the scene trying to make it in the scene? You're saying
definitely
you weren't
not.
Really.
Definitely not a guy in the scene.
Okay.
You know, my boys, they
a
were.
A local boy.
Yeah, just a fucking local Queens boy. I was always going to the city, but I was never like, I don't know, I was never like knowing everybody. You know, I knew one homie from my neighborhood who knew everybody. He was chilling downtown. Because
we all know those kind of rappers.
Exactly.
So they're there at every show, every night. They're trying to make an impression.
I mean, there's a lot of them that are out there now that we've known from back then. I've seen the come up. We did it together. And some people do it the way they do it their way. Some people do it a different way. I just did it my way, you know. Just before this, it was riding around by myself, listening to jazz music, smoking weed in a Cadillac, you know? I've always been, or with my man Mayhem, or with Body. This is what we did beforehand.
Right.
You know, looking for places to eat, just being a fucking, I don't know, just a fucking queen scum.
But what were you doing to make a living before rap?
I was a cook. I was a cook for
how many years?
Shit, for maybe 9, 10 years.
Okay.
I was a cook. You know, I try to fucking sell steroids. I was bad at selling drugs.
Yeah.
I was never good at selling drugs because I only sold the drugs that I liked.
Right.
I never really sold the drugs I didn't like. I probably should have. I like weed too much, and I would always fucking... I was the king of taking credit and then never giving it back.
Yeah.
I still owe people money to this day.
Really?
this might open the door for them to come holler, but yes, I do. There's no doubt about that.
I got friends who sell lean, and they're kind of going over like the economics of it, and I'm like, you got to start selling coke. Like, this is a terrible business that you're in here.
Just step it up. Just go right to the fucking
cocaine. Go where the business is.
Exactly, man.
Yeah. But you never tried to sell the hard stuff like that?
No, I mean, you know, I dabbled in a little cocaine here and there, a little fucking piece, a little piece over there, throwing little pieces all over the place. But never anything crazy, man. It was never my thing.
Right.
My thing was more, I don't know, I'm an artiste. You know, I have a different eye. I like flowers and shit.
From day one, like, listening to your lyrics, it was always obvious that, like, oh, this is a guy who really gives a fuck about his rapping. He wants to rap well. He's clearly influenced by, you know, the greats in New York, you know, probably down all the way back in the line, you know, even like a Jay or a Nas. Nowadays, when I listen to you, I think about Sean Price. I think about...
I love Sean Price.
A lot of guys,
my guy, man. Rest in peace to Sean Price.
Big time.
Great dude.
But so what did you aspire to be?
Let me tell you this right
rapping?
Now. Sean fucking Price. I started rapping in a fucking basement underneath the fucking bodega, P.F. Cutting on Jamaica and Van Sicklin. That's Sean Price's main man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's where I started rapping in fucking East New York, Brooklyn. That's where I started. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I had to fucking make something of myself. I had to care.
Right.
You don't just fucking come here looking like me on Jamaican Van Sicklin to the fucking East New York studio. You know what I mean?
That's the Eminem effect, is that you're the white boy who had to really show and prove to them know that you deserve to be there, right?
Nah, see, I didn't go that hard. I was always me. That's the thing. Like, in New York, you don't really see that type of shit. We're like, no one gives a fuck. It's everyone's the same,
right?
I feel.
But you're a different kind of white guy, too. Number one, you're Albanian. Number two, you just got like a natural confidence about you that just is like, okay, this is a dude who... And I feel like you were always like that, too, because when I watched the old-ass cooking videos, because that was when I first... I heard that album. I thought it was pretty good. Then I see the music video of you killing the girl. And then I'm like, okay, this is...
Sick.
This guy's really got something.
I was auditioning for a Scorsese movie early, man.
That's the vibe I got. I'm like, oh, this is like a guy who actually fucking respects that sort of thing.
I do. Joe Pesci's one of my favorite guys, you know, like... He could play fucking one of the wet bandits and one of the sticky bandits in Home Alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then he could play fucking casino fucking guy. He could play all these different characters. He could play fucking the movie Super. You ever seen the Super?
I don't think so.
Come on, it's one of his fucking best movies.
I gotta hit up his wiki then.
Ruben Blades.
Okay.
Come on, man. Yo, you want me to give you the plot?
Sure, hit me up.
All right, so
tell me what movies I need to watch.
So the Super. His fucking father owns a bunch of buildings. There's some rich Jewish guys. So he gets mad at him, whatever, whatever. He makes him live in one of the tenements, in one of the fucking hoods, you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
He takes it, daddy takes the Corvette away. And it's a crazy scene.
Right.
So he lives in one of these tenements and he meets fucking Puerto Rican guy Ruben Blades and the homies. They steal his car. They fuck with him. It's a fucking incredible movie.
Basically, okay. So do you think about movies a lot? Is that something that stands out to you that you
need
to do?
I'm a movie buff for sure.
Okay.
I would love to, there's no doubt I'd like to do movies. I mean, I feel like I might have to get some tattoos removed.
Yeah, but like 50 does it.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't really call it. I mean, has 50 done a romantic lead?
I don't know.
I'd like to.
After Get Rich and Die Trying, like, what did he really have to prove to
that's
anyone?
That's what I mean. You know, like, he could finish right there.
Right.
But I haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
I'd like to be, you know, me and Drew Barrymore in a love scene or...
I would like to see that as well.
You know what I mean? That'd be fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. So when you... Okay, that video...
Or Sofia Vergara.
What was that song that, where you killed the girl for the video?
That was called Brunch.
Right, Brunch.
Yeah, man.
So was that your first video or your first legit video?
Nah, my first legit video was called Imported Goods.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was. We shot that shit over there in Flushing, right there by City Field at the whatchamacallit, at the motherfucking the junkyard over there.
Okay.
But that was the first one. Then it just fucking, I don't even know, man. I don't know how this fucking happened, honestly.
But so
I gotta be honest.
At that point, like, it just seemed like your career was already being mapped out in a pretty intelligent way. Like, okay, we have like a really eye-catching, impressive visual like that to go with it. You know, your stuff was just always well put together from the very beginning. Did you get in bed with the right people from a marketing perspective, or did you just always know what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think that I had no idea what the fuck anybody, I didn't know anyone in this business, you know? I just always knew I had a vision, and I know I cringe at certain things, so as long as I didn't cringe, I'd be okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Because there's so much whack shit out there
As long as I don't fucking cringe, I could deal with it.
A lot of rappers, that's what it comes from, I think, you know? You see so much shit you don't like that you have to come out and do stuff that you relate to.
Absolutely. You just got to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the best advice you could tell anybody is just be yourself. I mean, if you don't got it, you don't got it. Not everyone's a rapper, not everyone's an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't know I had it, but I just seem to have had it.
Right.
But just fucking be yourself. And if no one likes you for who you are, then fuck it. Go fucking drive a race car or something. on SportsCenter.
When you started to come out with music and stuff, though, like how important was it to you to make it, to not be a cook anymore, a chef anymore?
The real situation was I broke my leg, and then, I started getting paid for fucking doing rap verses, and I was like, yo, this is it. There's something here.
Uh-huh.
More people started asking me to, come fuck with them, and I knew I had something. I knew I could make as long as I got my foot in the door, I could do something.
You remember the first check you got for doing a feature for somebody?
Absolutely. What was that? Kid in Australia.
Oh, really?
Mons.
How much you get paid?
I think it was $800 or $1,000.
That probably felt good as fuck, right? Which was fucking phenomenal. Yeah.
$1,000? Like, kidding me?
You never got paid a ride before? That's like, holy shit, this is a real business.
And I had all these fucking papers with words on it that I had written because I broke my leg. Man, $1,000 here, $1,000. It's just like $7,000 at that time. I was like, okay, let's go. Yeah. After getting paid $400 or $500 a week, working in a fucking kitchen, being a jerk off,
Yeah.
But it's a big deal.
But okay, did you like being in that cooking environment?
I loved it.
You did love it.
I love it, man. And I learned how to speak Spanish working in the kitchen.
I noticed that.
That's an amazing fucking situation.
You keep doing in that one video? What the fuck is that?
The Mexican guys, they like to play fucking games. They like playing kitchen games.
You could tell you had such a good relationship with those dudes.
I fucking love them. they teach you a lot about life.
Yes.
And one thing they do is they have a lot of whistles that mean different things. Mm-hmm. So this whistle is the one, if you're with your friends, you do it, but you don't do it to just someone in the street. You go...
There you go. Very well. Well done.
Chinga tu madre.
And that's just saying hi to your friend?
It's go fuck your mother.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what that means.
Nice. Yeah. But the first time when you started filming one of those, what was that like? Did you have any idea that this might have any kind of viral potential? Or were you just like, I'm just going to make a fun little video with the guys?
This was my dream, was to join music, entertainment, and fucking and my life, and culinary, and weed, and just fucking literally be myself in every facet of life and turn it into something. And that's really what we did.
Yeah. That is the beautiful part about it, is that you haven't changed much at all. Like, you haven't changed your content. I very rarely heard you go make a radio song.
I mean, at the end of the day, listen, there's been pressure to do radio songs and this and that because... I'm on a fucking label, but I'm not made for the pop chart, You might like my personality, and I might smile, and he's jolly, but I'm not made for the pop chart, man, There's a darker side.
Right. But did you feel that from early on, like, maybe I'm not meant to be 50 Cent, but I want to go and do this in my own way?
I never had any ideas of being anything. I was just always I knew I was always going to be me, but... Just throughout this process, man, it's become powerful.
Yeah.
And it's like yesterday, man, was such a crazy fucking day. I mean, the past couple of days, I shut down Webster Hall, the last show ever.
Hell yeah.
I was surprised that they asked me. I mean, that's fucking legendary. They had Nine Inch Nails there the week before.
That is crazy.
So.
They just shut down for a couple of years, though, right?
A couple of years, but it's going to be some fucking bullshit. Yeah. It's not going to be what it was, That's like a legendary place, a venue that people, they needed to go through in New York, That was my first time there, period. I never partied, I never sniffed coke there, I never did anything there.
That's crazy.
So I did that, then we fucking came out here, did a fucking show in San Francisco, a little private show that was fucking phenomenal.
Private show?
Like, not private, just like 500 intimate people, I like that type of show instead of... I mean, I love the festival shows, too, with tens and 50,000 people also, but...
It's a different energy.
It is a different energy. But when you have 50,000 people going crazy, that energy is nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, but then I did a fucking gastro stage at the Outside Lands Festival where it's a mixture of the food and the music and whatever. So I gave a little talk. I said what's up to people. I had dudes from Suvla make a fucking roasted lamb. They brought a whole lamb out. We chopped it up. I ripped it up. I was throwing legs of lamb to people, throwing fucking whole chickens at people. People were catching it. Jerry Rice and shit.
Amazing.
Then some fucking kid about 50 yards away, I would say 50 yards, climbed up a tree about 20 feet up. The homie handed me a fucking chicken parm sandwich wrapped up. So I fucking went. I went on the center. I went, huh, huh. I fucking dropped back. I nailed this fucking kid in the tree. In the tree, 50 yards away, 20 feet up, I fucking nailed him right in the stomach with the chicken palm.
Wow.
The fucking place exploded. Explosion.
Right.
There was nothing else to do after that. I literally could have went home. I didn't have to rap a word. I just hit a kid from 50 yards away with a fucking chicken palm in the stomach.
That's amazing. I would have missed. It would have gone right by his head.
He would have fell out of the tree.
And I would have got sued.
Nah, that's his fault. You didn't tell him to climb that shit.
Yeah, but people get sued for all kinds of fucked up shit. I just saw that,
there's no doubt about that.
Like, Drake is getting sued because some girl got raped at his show, even though he was, on stage, had nothing to do with it. I'm like, oh, God, that sounds terrible.
Someone has to pay for that.
I mean, it's fucked up.
It is. Someone has to pay for that.
I think they just, do the lawsuit and just try to get as much attention going for the lawsuit as possible, and then they kind of whittle it down, get rid of everybody else, find somebody else. But I don't know. That's an interesting thing that I've always thought about your career is that you came out and you were like, you know what? I'm going to focus very heavily on the touring thing. I'm going to do the TV show thing from the very beginning. You weren't like, oh, I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket and just try to be a pop star. And that's what a lot of people do is they burn themselves out too quick. They get overexposed. I feel like you've done a very good job of sort of not completely blowing yourself out to a larger audience. You've just been like, you know what? I found a way to be me. And to do really well for myself without having to completely do the same old tire formula.
Yeah, man. And I feel like that it just makes me feel better as a human being to be able to wake up and look at myself in the mirror and know that I'm not a fuck boy, you know? And I haven't done any fuck shit. And that, I could fucking stand with my head up on my own too and just, I did this my way and I did it. I did a lot of this with my own will, you know? It's crazy when you think about it, man.
It is.
But, to be able to come into this shit and to be noticed, it's not an easy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's hundreds and thousands of fucking people. Every day there's somebody new on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to stick out in this generation, in this era.
Mm.
So... for me, I let my fucking rapping ability and myself be the need to do the. That's my presentation.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you have a crazy. I feel like your fans, you got a lot of young fans, but then you also occupy the lane where the actual rap motherfuckers, I think, really respect your skills. And then we're over here at the car wash and a fucking 50-year-old man runs up to you and says, hey, I love the TV show. I'm like, man, you're hitting them on all cylinders right here.
That's what it's about. I worked with Kool G Rap one time. And he told me that I was one of the fucking best ever. He told me that I was fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I needed to hear from him. I don't give a shit what anyone else says, period. All I needed was the respect from Kool G Rap. Because that's my idol in hip-hop,
That's amazing.
Yeah. That made me feel fucking good.
Yeah, that goes a long way.
To this day.
Yeah. I remember, and the Blue Chips mixtape, too. You can't say enough about how fucking dope that is as just a single project. It's so obvious you just went in the lab and just exploded, that you really had shit to get off your chest, shit to say, and it was just coming out of you like that.
Yep. The Blue Chips projects were, there's something about, there was an energy in working in a little ass fucking apartment in Brooklyn,
Mm-hmm.
My boy had a little fucking spot, a little railroad, and it was just some magical vibe in there. I don't know, it was some... I don't need Party Supplies is a crazy guy, man. Once you get in the studio with that dude, it's like he's fucking a different type of genius, you know? It's mm-hmm. It's very hard. You have to really understand fucking human
mm-hmm.
and mental. He's fucking next level. He helped me a lot with all that. We sculpted the sound and just not literally giving a fuck and just going in and doing whatever before everyone try and sculpt the song and do this, put the hook here, put it there. But hell no.
Yeah.
That's not my formula. My formula is whatever I feel. If you want to hear a hook for a quickie, I'll do a little quickie hook.
Right.
And then I'll fucking, I just, it's all over the place.
Fuck a verse up, just start
who
over.
Cares? It's, who cares?
I love that.
This is what it's about. It's about just, that's full expression. Is not starting it over and redoing it and fucking being perfect. That's the art in it, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Party supplies.
Yeah.
Do you ever do any, like, hard drugs while you were creating those mixtapes? Because there's moments where I'm like, he sounds very energetic here.
Yeah, no. he makes a ginger shot.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's
that shit will get you going.
Oh, yeah, no, it gets you fucked.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't. We do some natural ginger shots, and then I go in the booth.
Yeah.
Clears up the lung. You know, it opens up all your eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah, it was kind of like a weird... It's weird because I feel like there's almost like two sides to you as a rapper. There was like the Party Supplies side back during that, and now you got like the Alchemist side of you. And yeah. Alchemist reminds me of Party Supplies sort of in that way too, because he's so experimental. He's so all over the place, coming up with different ideas and stuff. He's just doing it in a way that is not going to make you have to sit there for 6 months and get all the samples cleared.
Well, yeah. Well, no, the problem is that's what happens. That's why my fucking, my album has been done. I don't know if it's changed like 4 times, but it's fucking samples, man. 1974 Russian guy, fucking, you know.
Is that really what it is?
Communist Russia.
It's not like a Donna Summers sample. It's like some weird shit.
No, yeah. No. We literally like 2 weeks ago, we got Sly Fox signed off on something. That was the most notable, but we got fucking Russian shit, Ethiopian shit, just wildness, man. Italian. I had to fucking give 100% of everything to this Italian guy just so I could use it. I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making no money off these records. This is just, I'm making money touring and living and just doing shit, you know?
Yeah.
These records are fucking a presentation. There's a plate, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I go out there, I could give everybody back what I put into this shit.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's what it's all about. Hey, I know rappers hate being asked about other rappers, but did you listen to the Jay-Z album?
I did.
You like it?
I do. I like a bunch of songs off it.
It kind
of
like, that's sort of, it almost, as I'm talking to you, it sort of just reminded me of that album.
Nah,
being
the
like,
Jay-Z album's fire. Once again, they say this is a young man's game, but you get wiser with time, man. Like, that fucking guy is something else.
I've never seen anybody make a grown man rap album that good.
He's something else. He's something. He's saying things that you like, these little kids don't really know what he's saying, you know? Like, and it's hot.
Yeah.
It's fire. The beats are fire. No ID killed that shit. It's just, it's masterful again. He's just, you know.
Facts.
That's why he's him.
And he made the album that he wanted to make, too. And I feel like
that's all he needs to do at this point.
Yeah.
That's what everyone wants to hear. Just fucking spit that shit. Just spit that shit. You don't need to make singles. Just, the single is the hottest song on there.
Mm-hmm.
The most fire
the song
rhymes.
People like the most.
That's it.
Yeah. Put that shit on fucking Apple Music. See which one gets the most plays. Boom, there's your single.
That's it. That's I mean, that's what shit is these days, man.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a single artist. I like making full plates.
Mm-hmm.
I like making full, you know. I like I don't know, I get stuck within transitions and shit like that. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. No one cares about that shit these days. Or some do, but you know, the modern thought is just fucking keep cranking out single, 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 single. I can't do that.
I feel like a big part of why you have a cult following and why you have longevity is the fact that you haven't really taken any of the opportunities to really compromise yourself, though. And it feels like a lot of times you could have a rapper coming out, he compromises himself one time, he just has one bullshit single, and those fans, sometimes they seem really loyal, sometimes they seem really fickle. You put out one bullshit project, they might be out.
Yeah, no, you never know these days, man. You know, I didn't put something out for almost 2 years now, a full project. You know, I put out a couple songs. I put out the joint with Mark Ronson and the Black Keys for the Suicide Squad soundtrack. That shit got, you know, they wanted me to put that on the album. I didn't want to put it on the album because I thought it was too commercial, you know? And I ended up being, you know, it doesn't have a video. It has like 15 million. You just can't call shit like that. You know what I mean? I don't even know what I was trying to say, tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, but
I was saying about putting shit out. Then I put out fucking Durag versus Headband.
Right.
No, that's where I'm at.
Right.
That right there is where I'm at.
Right.
Produced by motherfucking Knowledge, and you know, that makes me grab my fucking balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, makes me grab my balls hard.
You feel like you've been taking it easy for the last couple of years in a way?
No.
Okay.
In terms of
releasing shit.
Yes, releasing shit just because, you know, you want to fucking make things count.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just release shit to release shit. I see a lot of people that just make, you know, a lot of shit. And then, you know, that's good in the beginning because that's what you need to do. I did that also. You know, if you're prolific, you put shit out. Keep going because that's what people want it.
Mm-hmm.
But a long time ago, you had to wait a little bit for the shit.
Right.
So I feel like you just got to take your time. I'm not going to rush anything. I wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
I did like fucking, I don't know how many Fuck That's Delicious episodes, like 20. We did fucking 20 Ancient Alien episodes. A bunch of other shit, man. My fucking year's been packed, so I've been trying to just juggle doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everything is coming to a head now. Like new shows are coming out now. Album is coming out now. Book is coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
All these fucking past 2 years is all happening within 2 weeks. It's like I'm really fucking shooting on the ceiling, you know? Like I'm...
That's why, like, you're out here doing media and stuff? One.
Nah, I was out here doing shows, but, right, you know, I wanted to come do this.
I appreciate
specifically
it,
like, I don't... how many times are you going to fucking do the same shit, man? You're that guy.
Hey, I appreciate that. Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, because when you first came out, I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't have left New York. Maybe I should have stayed out there. There's a lot of cool, interesting people in New York.
New York is good, man. New York is good, but it's good to travel also. But it's always good to have home base.
Mm-hmm.
And home base, for me, will always be New York.
You ever go crazy and buy a super nice place out there? You still got the same type of place?
No, I have a super nice place, but I rent.
Right.
I'm used to renting. You know, when I'm ready, I'm going to buy a house about an hour away.
Okay.
Have a lot of land.
Mm-hmm.
So I could shoot guns and ski, you know, the skis.
Yeah, that's just tight.
Yeah, shoot that shit. Fucking ride ATVs. That's all I want.
You got any weird hobbies that we should know about, stuff like that? Shooting skeet is the kind of thing that if you actually did that with any kind of consistency, I would be impressed.
No, nothing with consistency.
Okay.
I get high with consistency.
Right.
You know, very much so. I'm pretty much consistent with a lot of the things that I do, but no hobbies that are that nuts.
Mm. You always struck me as like a Renaissance man, though. You like,
I do.
Like having
I like
your hand
foraging. Yeah, I like baking. I like doing things like that. I like picking things from the garden. I like gardening.
Mm.
I like doing things like that. I like being close to the earth. I like traveling to ruins.
Right.
I like feeling fucking energy. Apparently, I'm a healer. Apparently, I have a lot of sensory skills that I could just feel shit.
I could see that. Yeah. I can see
that's
it's like a therapist or something.
That's what they told me in the street.
Yeah.
I got my aura picture taken. She fucking said I was off the charts.
Really?
She was scared.
I could see that, though.
She was like, damn, you must have been a fucking crazy Mayan god. Like some fucking wild flying man from the stars.
You came in the game a little later, though. So you think that kind of explains why you have more patience and why you're able to sort of like see the long term of your career?
I think you hit the nail right on the head with that. I came in when I was 27, or 26.
People act like you're dead at 27 around these days.
Shit, I don't, you know.
But a lot of the big,
I still have
ones
a clean, you know, have a fucking clean, cute face, young. I'm still, when I have my head shaved, I look dumb young.
You're 33, right?
Yeah.
You know who else is 33? Me, Future, Nicki Minaj.
That's what I'm saying.
We're in good company,
it's
my friend.
It's a power number.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing. He's not that age, but that was his number.
Larry Bird. 33. We from Boston,
that's
so we got to say
that. No, it's okay. That's a fucking mean man right there.
Yeah.
That's a mean man right there.
Yeah. I don't know if you could cut it these days, though, man. They're doing experiments on high school kids now. I think Larry Bird was kind of the last of that generation.
I think that with his heart.
He
has the heart of a lion.
I don't think heart's enough to get you.
Guys are
these days.
Yeah, the fucking NBA players these days are just.
They're superheroes.
They're jumping out of the gym. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, Zion Williamson coming out of high school right now. He's the hottest. Mm-hmm. He's the craziest player in high school ball. You know, you got the Ball brothers still over there.
I was just about to mention LeVar Ball. You a fan of him? Kind of reminds me of LeVar
Ball.
The dad.
Yeah, LeVar Ball, I mean, you know, he's crazy. he's doing his thing. He's going out there. He loves his kids. At least he's fucking, you know, going hard for his family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I respect. He's going hard for his family.
Yeah. He might be a little misguided from time to time, but that's all right,
right? There's definitely some misguided, you can't harass women referees at all.
Oh, right. That's a good point, yeah.
You just can't do things like that. He has to chill a little bit, but I know where he's coming from. I know where his heart is really at, and it's for his family. And if it's that, it's all good.
So you immediately go to like, oh, you can't make fun of the woman referee. Do you feel like you've had to, you know, learn how to act a little bit? Because, you know, coming from Queens and everything, it's catcalling chicks on the street. It's fuck. There's a lot of stuff that goes down in New York that people don't know about.
It's not just New York, man. Boston. Very true. You're very from true. Boston?
Well, I'm from outside Boston, but yeah.
But let's not talk about that area.
Oh, that's a
come on. It's heavy duty over there, man. It's just the same as Queens. Yeah. I feel the Boston area and Queens. You know, there's rivalry, but it's very, it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fucking similar.
There's a lot of thick. You know what it is? There's a lot of thick, deep. Ethnic culture, but it's like essentially white people, you know, like they make a gang movie about white people or like a mafia type movie. It's almost always going to be like Boston white people or like New York white people.
Yeah. I mean, in Queens, you know, it's like the most diverse place in the world at this point.
That's what I love about your music. You can hear all the different influences, you know?
I think I only grew up with like two white or three white kids in my neighborhood that I was friends with, you know?
Flushing, man.
Flushing,
it's not a very white place. Yeah,
no, Flushing and right there by Jamaica Avenue, and you know, it's right in the middle of a bunch of good places: Jamaica Ave, Main Street, Flushing, Forest Hills. So we were right nestled inside there. Had to take the motherfucking bus to the train to get to the city, and or have the car, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's the diversity in them, and that's what makes you who you are.
But what about stuff like, you know, I know you had lyrics about like trans, using the word tranny or something back in the day. There's a lot of PC stuff.
I was talking about a fucking car. What are you talking about?
Oh, were you really?
Yeah, I was talking about.
No, you were. Because they came for you over that shit, right?
No, they didn't. Are you kidding me? I was talking about the fucking car.
But okay, do you feel like you've had to kind of learn how to abide by like the codes of modern conduct?
It's not really about learn. It's not about abiding by the law. It's just, you know, becoming more conscious, obviously. You know, you're not poised with the proper language and the understanding. But once you really, you know, everyone is fucking human beings. There's no hatred for anybody, period, and there should never be. So, I think that was a little bit misguided for me. I was just, you know, when you're from a certain place, you use certain words. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't realize whether they're gonna be hurtful or not.
Totally,
they're just. They're literally just words that people say.
In a place like Queens,
that
like
shouldn't be said.
You're so surrounded by so many different types of people that like you end up having. You know, one of my favorite podcasts ever, Tax Stone and Body.
Yeah, no, I mean they get it from the fucking chicken spot.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? That's a mean fucking. Yeah. That's real shit.
Yeah,
you know, like we're very diverse people. We don't know. There's no. We don't see color, creed, anything. We don't see. There's no gender, anything like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we see people. Period.
Yeah.
You're either a fucking good person or a bad person. Everyone's a fucking asshole, you know.
Right.
At the end of the day.
You know, a lot of times people will try to kind of excuse Donald Trump's behavior and say, "Oh, he's a New Yorker."
Fuck that! Hell no! You crazy? And he's from fucking Queens, which is embarrassing.
Yeah. So how's that for the home team?
It's not a good one. We got Seinfeld though.
That's very good, dude.
Nah, it's not that great. It's all
right. Well, he wouldn't let Kesha hug him.
Oh, man. That was funny, fire. Though. That's funny. I fuck with that.
Feel like that, though? Like, God, I'm sick of hugging every motherfucker who comes up to me. Yeah.
I mean, but at the end, I literally, I don't know how many fucking handshakes this hand has given.
Mm-hmm. You got to start washing hands after a while, you know?
I feel like if I start washing my hands, I'm going to get sick. I just stay with every single germ on there. And you just deal with it. Mm-hmm. That's how you build up that tolerance. I got a fucking immune system like Brillo.
All right, guys. This is our first time ever having two ads on the same podcast. Bear with me for a moment. We have to send a big, big shout out to our sponsor, Tracker. TRACKR. Basically, it's a small, lightweight aluminum device. You attach it to your keys, to your wallet, to anything that you think that you might lose, and then you pair it with your phone, and you're able to use your phone to alert yourself to where that item is anywhere in the world. Now, it could be you lose your keys a lot, maybe you lose your wallet, anything like that. This device is so incredibly helpful. I have it, I use it. It has already saved me countless hours of grief and agony because it's so easy to find stuff when you have this. Let me tell you, this is especially helpful if you had a few drinks. So hey, get on over to tracker.com/nojumper get on over to tracker.com. That's TRACKR.com and use the promo code NOJUMPER. This is a rope gang thing. 20% off on your order if you use the code NOJUMPER on TRACKR.com. And I swear, this thing is going to save you some time. All right, back to the Action Bronson interview. Donald Trump, he sucks. He's not allowed to represent Queens, so we can agree on that.
Definitely not. He's from Long Island.
Yeah.
Or wherever the fuck. Definitely not from no Queens.
Yeah. If you could see a rapper be the president from Queens, though, who would you want? You think Nas could handle it? You'd rather throw it to 50? Who? Noriega?
Shouts to motherfucking Nori, man.
Yeah.
It's the man right there. Who would be a good rapper from, a good president from Queens?
I feel like Jay-Z could be the president for real.
Yeah, Jay-Z could probably be the president.
Yeah.
LL Cool J.
Ooh, you know? Now you're talking, yeah. Now we're talking steroids. There you go.
I mean, you haven't fucking seen In Too Deep?
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
He was probably on steroids around the same time that you were.
But it reacted a little bit different to us.
Slight genetic reaction.
Slight different reaction.
It's all about that shit, right?
Oh, man. I could definitely deadlift more than LL. No, there's no doubt.
You ever met LL?
I've never met LL, but we have a song together, and I love him.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
We have the Strictly For My Jeeps remix with Lloyd Banks.
That was a good one.
I loved it.
That
fucking
was great.
Lloyd Banks and LL on the joint. I was like,
Lloyd Banks. You ever met him in real life?
I love Lloyd Banks. He's
a cool guy.
The man.
Amazing. At a certain point in time, he was the punchline god. He was the only dude you thought about.
Just fucking driving around in cars,
mm-hmm.
listening to the G-Unit freestyles on the fucking radio.
Yes.
Dipset freestyles that Flex used to have. That's what I grew up on. You
that
know,
was that
60
era.
Minutes of funk.
Mm-hmm.
That all those funk Flex tapes, man. It was like he got all the illest artists to come and just wild out and do crazy shit, and that was beautiful.
Yeah, I feel like that early 2000s period that we got to witness like a very, very raw time in New York rap history right there.
Even before that, DJ Clue tapes and, you know, like, that's what we grew up on. I'm from fucking the 90s, man. I was born in 83. I was conscious around the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Clue tapes is where I was at. And the fucking neon mixtapes from Aqueduct Flea Market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was just some one guy over there selling freestyle mixtapes and oldies of fucking reggae and shit like that. Mm-hmm. My two twin cousins used to fucking take me to buy starter jackets. That's where we at.
I used to get fucked over. I'd buy like a bootleg fucking J.R. Ryder mixtape real quick.
That's amazing. You know, that was that era. You could pull over, like, damn, let me go get a mixtape real quick. Go buy the J.R. Ryder mixtape at any
store.
Of course, man. And that was a beautiful time right there.
But you might get fucked over because the people were good at Photoshop. They might just make a really dope cover, have a blank CD in there or some bullshit-ass CD.
Yeah, nah, you got to take that risk, man.
Mm-hmm. That's what
it's
all about.
You know, you go into the store and they have the little binder and you flip through it and, oh, I want that mixtape.
Yep.
And they go under there and they have it for you.
Damn, it sucks that you kind of missed the mixtape era. You weren't like that guy physically selling them for $5. Bucks.
Nah, I would have never been
that
guy.
You wouldn't have been that guy, okay.
I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no.
But I love when I hear people talking about dudes selling mixtapes out of the trunk of their car or whatever. It's like, that's a very romantic period in time.
It is, but there's modern ways that goes down, you mm-hmm. know? Like,
checking your SoundCloud stats, maybe not as appealing.
Not exactly. But there's ways to connect.
Yeah.
There's ways to connect, like Trent Reznor always talks about.
Mm-hmm.
You have to connect with your fans.
So he's somebody that's had a big influence on you?
Nah, you know, recently I watched a bunch of his shit on YouTube.
Okay.
I like fucking watching random shit.
He's a forward-thinking guy.
He is.
Yeah. You know, that's the one thing I think when I look back at your old cooking videos is I'm like, man, like, I'm sure the check is great being on the show and everything, but I kind of wish that you had just stayed like a grimy YouTube for a while longer and just stayed in the kitchen with the camera. You could have had a crazy following on YouTube doing that shit.
I got to be honest, at that time, like the following, it would have been there, but I didn't have anyone to film the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it, shit ended when we stopped having someone to film it.
Yeah.
And then it rekindled when I got with Vice and I got with my man Tom Gould, and we started filming crazy shit in Australia, South Africa, diving into water perfectly from incredible heights. It's just like unbelievable shit.
When's the last time you made that Bronson burger? 310
pounds.
Remember the Bronson burger?
I fucking made it up that one time, and I never made it again.
The chicken fucking cutlet on top of the burger and everything?
That was with the cabagool. It was fucking crazy.
Because I don't think you ever actually showed you taking a bite of it.
I didn't eat it. I didn't eat
it. It looked impossible to eat.
Yeah, I just thought, how about making it? I just want to make a monstrosity for TV.
Yeah. And I like how you're fucking making the tuna, too. That big block of tuna.
The big tuna. Yo, at the end of the day, I would never prepare it the way I did at that time.
Okay.
The little salad on top was nice, but I cooked it too much.
No, you put it on top of the salad.
Yeah. Cooked it too much.
Okay.
I look back and I'm like,
is that just because you've learned a lot as a cook?
Okay. I've learned more. I've become more refined and fine-tuned.
I love your show because it reminds, like,
worldly.
I love, you know, one of my favorite things is like going to different countries overseas in Europe and stuff and just sitting at the little cafes and having the tapas. They bring out these little breads and sauces and everything.
Tremendous.
When I watch your show, I'm like reminded of how great that experience is and how nice it is to be in Italy in some little town and you're just checking out some new spot, like, because you seem so in the moment in that, like, on the show you just seem like you actually feel like this is what you were meant to be doing.
This is exactly what I feel, man, and this is what I mean by saying that you know, I live my life and I do exactly what I want as my job, so I don't even give a fuck that a camera's there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my own moment, you know.
Right.
They're just filming my moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't give a shit the camera's there. I'm just filming my moment.
Yeah.
And it feels great. Like being in these little places, being able to go to Paris and being able to go to the mountains and the volcanic area where you could go have a bottle of wine in a cave with friends and eat cheese and fucking breads and meats that they've made with hand. With hand.
With hand. Oh.
It's a crazy thing, and you know, you meet all these people, and they're all like-minded, they're all connected, and they all bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
One guy makes the fucking saucisson. One guy makes the different sauces. One guy makes the cheese. One guy tends to the cheese. Then we have a bunch of winemakers, and one guy who just knows everybody where to go. It's the fucking connector. It's unbelievable, connecting all these different winemakers, and it's something special. Like, just being able to just sit in a little town where nobody knows who you are, or you know, you don't give a fuck. You just sit there, like no one's there.
Yeah.
You're just in your own moment.
But you're just really experiencing life at that point, I feel like. You know, like you're actually very much in the moment then. You know, and that's why I love being overseas, too. It's half the time your phone doesn't fucking work, or at least there's nobody that you know around there. You know a couple people, but it's just so... God, there's something about that lifestyle that is so different than being in LA. You got 5 meetings every day. You got something to do every single night.
There's always fucking something, man. Mm-hmm. The slow life is where it's at, but then I feel like you have to come back to reality, and this is what allows us to go and take these trips and get away from that. You know, it's like the pleasure and pain. You have to have one for the other.
Yeah.
You know, like if we don't have the struggle and the hustle and bustle here, we can't have that feeling of relaxation and total letting loose.
Right.
When we're over there.
Is it hard for you to hustle your ass off right now because you already got money, you're already comfortable, as compared to when you were younger where you're still like, I want to quit my job. I want a
kids,
nice
bro.
Place.
I got kids, man. I'm never comfortable until I have way too much I could never spend.
Uh-huh.
And it's not even that I care about money for myself, because I don't give a fuck about it for myself. I just live.
Right.
You know, I can maneuver no matter what. It's for the children, man. It's for the family. You want your mom to be okay. Like, my mother took care of me my whole life. I want her to fucking be okay for the rest of her fucking life, you know?
How's she doing?
She's amazing. She's one of the best women ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fucking high right now, no doubt.
She gets high with you.
100%.
That's amazing.
My mom's stoned as fuck.
How'd she get weed? You gotta send somebody over her house?
Man, she comes and picks it up from me. I bring it to her. I give her edibles. She loves the edibles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Wait, how old are your kids?
My kids are young.
Okay.
They're young.
So this is a new thing?
Nah, they're 10 and 12.
Oh, okay.
Which means they're old.
Yeah.
I'm an old fucking man.
Well, they've
man.
Been around since before you were really rapping.
They've been around for a long time now.
Mm. And yeah. So how's that going?
It's a beautiful
They're boys?
Nah, a boy and a girl.
Okay. And any of their friends have any clue about who their dad is?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
I keep it light. It's normal, man. It is what it is. You fucking mm-hmm. come see me. I'm still at the park playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm still at the fucking graduations going crazy for my kids, singing the words to Aretha Franklin while my daughter sings, you know?
Do your kids think it's weird, though, that everybody knows their dad? Everybody wants a photo with their dad?
Yeah, they don't like it. At first, they were freaked out, but it is what it is now.
Right. They haven't really known anything else, so
what are they going to do?
Yeah.
That's how we get fed.
Hey, 10-year-old Bobby, this is who bought the fucking Gucci loafers for you right here.
That's right. That's right. You want the new Kyries? That's what my son wants. My son only wants Kyries right now.
Okay.
He's fucking with the Kyries heavy.
Yeah. You said back on the old mixtape, I remember you said something about like, I want to wear expensive fabrics, but they just don't fit me. Yeah. But I feel like you're a dude who blew up, got money, and then you're kind of like, you know what? I'm still wearing shorts. I'm still wearing T-shirts. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, nah, I mean, this is what's comfortable. What the fuck? I would never change that shit, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to get all dressed up, like, wearing all kinds of polo shit and just, like, thinking more about fucking wearing, like, outfits and this and that. That shit is whack.
You're in the cooking video. You're like, check my outfit. Yeah, right? Check my outfit.
Even at that point, it was just, I was only wearing shorts, but I would wear rugbies here and there. But I'm like, what am I doing with myself?
But you're looking up to Sean Price and shit. Of course you have that polo influence.
Well, yeah, Sean Price and just the fucking low lives in general. You know, like my boy Mayhem has been, you know, he's been in that movement since like 98. So we've been in that since early before I even met Sean Price. This is Thurston Howell III. You know, that's where it started with, you know, Big Vic Lowe, and that shit just was enchanting for some reason. Ralph Lauren makes incredible clothing, but you know, there's nothing like a good Carhartt shirt where it's just a little Henley 3-button. I'm comfortable as fuck right now.
Strong Henley.
Yo, bro, I could throw a blazer on right now, and you'd be like, yo, that's a crazy new dress shirt with the 3-button underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could go chop wood. Either way, I'm still styling.
You're ready.
For anything.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing swim trunks so I could jump in water. I could jet ski.
I mean, you're married to shorts.
I'm married to fucking, I'm married to swim trunk material.
Really? That's the one?
I don't wear regular short.
Oh, okay.
Only swim trunk material.
Interesting.
It has to be a polo short. Either a black or a blue.
So you ever been to like Siberia or some shit and you just wanted to throw some pants on?
I've been to Alaska and I was wearing shorts.
Really?
Yeah.
There's just a certain point you reach where it doesn't matter.
I did put jeans on just to fuck around.
Uh-huh.
I bought Nautica jeans.
Wow.
To fuck around.
How was that?
And it was terrible. It ruined everything. I was playing NBA Jam and my fucking stomach was killing me.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally all because of the motherfucking Nautica jeans.
Right.
I had a hernia from weightlifting, and I think that the Nautica jeans made that shit break, and I had to get surgery out there.
Wow.
I fucking hate Nautica jeans. I also wore Nautica jeans to my grandfather's funeral in 96.
Wow. Because you felt black like you had to wear pants.
At that point I was wearing pants, but I wore black Nautica jeans and I had the Nautica fucking 3-button like pullover with the thing.
96. Nautica was huge, yeah.
And I also had, I hate to say it, fucking black patent leather Jordans on.
Well, you're anti-Jordan now?
I don't fuck with Jordan, period. I'm from New York, man. He ruined my childhood.
Oh, right, yeah. Damn, I'm surprised that still holds true. There's not a lot of people holding on to that still from New York, I think.
And I met him, and he wasn't nice to me. He was a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He's a cocksucker.
Okay.
So I can't fuck with him.
You don't think Michael Jordan's kind of earned the right to be an asshole to people?
Are you kidding me? Hell no.
Really?
What the fuck gives him the right? Well, for what? Because he shoots the ball well?
I just feel like
as he puts the fucking ball in the basket, he could be an asshole.
At a certain point,
but why?
Don't you think he's dealt with enough fans?
Did he fucking cure cancer? Did he cure? He didn't fucking cure Magic's AIDS.
You
don't think? He didn't do that. No.
I have a theory about that, but no. Don't you think? At a certain point, like I look at somebody like him, like all right, I interviewed Master P, but the first time I met Master P, it was just so obvious he didn't give a fuck that I was introducing myself to him. You know, and I'm thinking, man, this is Master P. Of course he doesn't give a shit. He's been doing this for so long.
Satan. I guess so, man. Motherfuckers just be in their own minds. They're out of space.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm living with everybody. I like to connect. I like looking in people's eyes. I like seeing that shit.
Right. See, that's nice to hear. That's good to hear. Because a lot of times it feels like it could be, it's almost something I deal with guilt. Because, you know, I meet like 100 fucking fans a day outside the store and shit. And at a certain point, you start to all just sort of mix together. And I feel like I can't remember anybody. And then I feel a degree of guilt about that because.
You don't have to, man. You're doing, you're giving the love.
Yeah.
You know, just always, my one thing is never say nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Always say nice to see you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It's always nice to see you.
Yeah. That's smart.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Oh, it's always nice to see you.
Or dudes would just go, hey,
nice to see you.
Boss man.
Boss man.
My friend.
My guy. How are you? Yeah. A lot of dudes, they come up to you and they try and give you the really fucking aggressive handshake.
Oh, yeah. New York especially.
Then you got to throw a little bicep into it, mm-hmm. a little shoulder shrug. A little Ultimate Warrior.
You ever have anybody come at you crazy, though, since you've been a popular rapper? Anybody ever try to give you a hard time like that? I don't think you're the guy.
The thing is, I don't put that out into the world, man. You know, I don't put negativity into the world. Never one fucking time. And it's actually mind-blowing because it's rap.
Yep.
So anytime someone ever comes up to me, it's total love, always. You know, that's the way I project myself, and that's the only way I would ever expect anyone to come up with. I just walk the street, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't walk the street with fucking 20 guys. I don't walk the street with a fucking big dude with me. I'm just the same as I've always been.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep it light, but I'm not going to fucking let someone try and play me either. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It's all about what you're putting out there.
It's always about positivity.
Hey, I want to ask you this. Did you ever steal your mom's car and crash it to the Burger King?
I fucking stole my mother's car 1,000,000%. I crashed that shit into the fucking Burger King. No, I didn't crash into the Burger King. My girl at the time crashed it into the Burger King. Ruined the fucking, it was the green Jeep Cherokee with the fucking AREs on it. It was nuts. But I stole my mother's car many times. I used to steal it to fucking go do graffiti in Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got caught under the L train one time.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know you were there in graffiti.
Yeah, nah, we love doing graffiti, man. That's where, you know, that's where you meet all your friends.
Yeah.
That's where I met a lot of my friends, is graffiti.
Yeah.
And just stay friends through graffiti and weed dealing. And, you know, there's levels to graffiti. There's usually a weed dealer involved.
Mm-hmm.
And,
graffiti is like what all the street dudes are doing on their free time, I feel like. Or when they, you know, they don't go hunting. They go spray paint something.
Exactly.
That's a New York version of it's like going hunting.
It's artistic. It's a way to express yourself also.
I love graffiti dudes because you'll just meet some of the most fucked up people, the most interested people, the weirdest people. Because it's like you have a part-time hobby where you go out and become like a fucking vigilante.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's bizarre,
and you call people by cool names. It's like fucking almost Instagram shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're calling people by their Instagram names. It's the same shit. It's like, yo, what's good? Fucking, yo, my name is fucking Torso.
It's Cope.
You
what
know,
up?
Exactly.
Cope 2. Because there was another Cope before me.
There was...
Oh, I love it. Shit. You know what? It was a great Action Bronson song.
Tell me.
Bird on a Wire. That fucking old Riff Raff collab, man. That was a great era. That was because you want to know why I liked it? Because you've always been such a great rapper, but then you went and did a song with Riff Raff, and I felt like your raps just got even fucking weirder for a short period of time.
Weird as fuck. Yeah, nah. You know what? Riff Raff is inspiring, dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's next level. He's next fucking level. Like, he was early on a lot of this shit, a lot of that the young kids do now. He's early on that shit. And, you know, when you... that track was done, I actually did that without knowledge of him and then sent it to him. So it was just fucking... it was perfect weirdness.
Yeah.
You know?
In the morning, do karate with your daughter.
Yeah, nah, you know...
or karate in the water.
Yeah, karate in the water is a reference to fucking Kickboxer. You know, when fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme is training, and he, you know, he starts stretching his legs more and more and more, and then he hears the sounds of the samurais in the fucking area where he's training, and then he goes into the water and he's fucking doing the different moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's very visual for me.
Yeah. These SoundCloud rap kids these days, they don't know that Riff Raff, you, that was the, in a lot of ways, you guys sort of broke it open for like internet weirdo rap in like 2011. Like,
there's no doubt about
it.
It
was a great time period for fucking.
Lil B also.
Yep.
For sure.
White Girl Mob.
Yo.
Gotta shut up, V Nasty,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even Rocky. Rocky was like the big superstar, pop star out of the whole thing. But I
there's
mean,
no doubt about
he
that.
Came out with a very different style, too, you know?
Yeah, Rocky. I mean, you know, me and Rocky came into the shit almost at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. I remember when fucking Dipset brought him out at fucking at Best Buy Theater. You know, I was just backstage smoking drugs by myself, and they bring him out. But, you know, I was just there to fucking. It was just crazy. It was like the beginning of his shit, you know? Mm-hmm. It's weird to see. It's weird to see that type of thing, man. Think back on all these, all the dudes we did shows with. I look at this one girl named Nana Castro. She was early on everybody. She had me, Rocky on the show. She had like a bunch of other dudes on the show that are doing things, you know what I mean? Like, there were some downtown heads that were early on things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? So, oh yeah, here's one more good question before we kind of wrap this up. Start talking about your album a little bit and everything. I wanted to ask, you got any particular preferences or thoughts about the falafel carts, the halal carts in Queens? Because that's the main thing I miss. When I really think about it, I'm like, I miss those fucking $7 plates, man.
The $7 plate is amazing. I don't fuck with halal guys.
Oh, they got that out here, and
that shit is disgusting, man. Let's be honest. It's not food.
I don't know if it's good in New York. I can't remember. But out here, it tastes like the McDonald's fried version.
I mean, they fucking they ruined it. That's no good. You got to go to Jackson Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Heights has a real good one.
Okay.
Right on the corner of Broadway and like 74th, right under the trestle. There's also Tibetan Momos,
mm-hmm.
where they're little beef dumplings. But the halal cart in front of Queens College is fire. My man makes his own homemade pickled hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
This is you learn these things, like, you know, you get the green sauce over there. Like, what is this?
And they talk about the fucking halal carts over in Midtown, but it's really cracking in Queens, right?
The Midtown ones ain't it. You're gonna stand in line for an hour for slop.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. They don't even flavor the basmati.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't even basmati anymore. They give you sauce in packages. The fuck is
that? Oh, that's terrible. Jeez.
It's like opening, you squeeze main. It's actually nauseating.
I don't want control. I want you. I blame those carts for like my obesity at a certain point in my life. I had to lose like 50 pounds because I just got out of control with that.
Are you kidding me?
I look all right now, but I was like 50, 60 pounds more than I am now.
But you still would have been a fucking husk. You would have been like a fucking power forward.
Eh. I felt like I was going to have a heart attack.
Mm.
Yeah, man, some of those sauces, those white sauces, and you just bite into it and it just feels like fucking acid in there, just oozing around in it. You're just like, I don't know what the fuck they're putting in this shit, but it's doing something to me.
It's usually a mayonnaise and fucking yogurt mix
with
dill, all different types of spices and shit in there.
If you're feeling a little down about yourself, you know that the guy at the halal cart is going to call you his friend, too. My friend.
Oh, my friend. Brother, how are you, buddy? How are you? Of course, it's amazing. As long as you start off with my friend, everything is good.
Yeah.
You get extra meat, extra rice, extra bread.
Mm-hmm.
It all works out.
Are you still frustrated with the label over the album not being out yet?
It's ultimately not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
If I used everything original, if it wasn't sample-based, then I would have had an album out already. But I fucking do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I am who I am.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. I'll deal with it.
It's
always good to blame the label. It's a fucking, it's a thing, you know?
I always wonder if the label even cares.
Who am I to fuck tradition up?
Oh, there you go. Damn. That's one of my favorite rap lyrics of all time. I always felt like if somebody asked me, what's your favorite rap lyric of all time? I'm going straight Killer Cam.
Cam's one of my favorites ever.
Who am I to fuck tradition up? Oh, man, I got to meet him the other day, and I was with Ben Baller, and Ben Baller's like, this is the interview guy right now. You got to fuck with him. And Cam, like, actually gave me a second look like, all right. And I was like, oh, man, what the fuck just happened?
Harlem.
I love him.
Actually, one of my favorite rappers is Bloodshed.
Oh, hell yeah. There you go.
You know, Children of the Corn. I grew up on that type of shit, man.
Yeah. I mean, they had Big L, Cam, Mace in the same group.
Big L, Cam, Mace, Bloodshed, McGruff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord.
I went and hung out with Hell-Rail and Duke the God and all them in Harlem and, like, did an interview that never came out because we got too drunk. But it was amazing.
You got to put it out anyway.
Fascinating. I got fucking a 3-hour Duke the God interview that I fucking recorded on my phone. And he and I got so drunk, and I shall never speak of the things we talked about on that podcast. But there's just a certain time where I was like, man, It wasn't that I thought I went overboard. I was like, I don't think you want people to know that this is the shit you start talking about when you get wasted.
It gets weird, man. It gets weird uptown sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, so, all right. So, in terms of the album, when we do get to hear it, what is going to be the stylistic changes, the growth?
There's none of that shit.
It's just classic shit.
Raw blue chips and one fucking, you know, I tried to make a song that was kind of bouncy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always one of those on blue chips.
Yeah.
So it just stays in the same vein, man. It's 7,000. It's beyond. It's just straight fucking crazy lyrics over crazy fucking beats. Unbelievable fucking rhythms. Man, and I got, you know, and the book is coming out too. Fuck That's Delicious book. It's just 100 things I love.
Mm-hmm.
That's really my fucking motto. It's 100 things I love, and I talk about it. 40 recipes. It's tremendous shit.
With the book, the show, the potential for movies, the fact that your rap career has not slowed down at all, it feels like you've got a lot of longevity left in you. I feel like you got an easy 10 years left here.
Shit, man. I mean, from your lips to the stars' ears, you know? As long as the stars hear it, that's all that matters, man. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'll do my part, though.
Mm-hmm. You know what I just thought about is that you were one of the first rappers I ever heard acknowledge that he was an atheist. She believes in Jesus. I believe in science or some shit.
It's true. I believe in a lot of different theory. I believe in the stars.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I think he fell back with the atheist talk once he started popping.
It's not an atheist. I don't label anything. I don't label myself. I don't know what that even means. I just believe in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone understands. That sounds like a mad stone, but that's what I believe in, man.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in a higher power in the universe. I don't know.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
All right, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for the new project.
Thank you, man. Three
of the songs are on Apple Music right now, so that's what I've been listening to. So, yeah. And exploring the back catalog, man.
I got some heat for you.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Appreciate you.
Hey, shout out Freako Rico, too.
Oh, man. Shouts to Freako Rico.
Yeah, he rides BMX.
He did that good artwork in the beginning, man. He needs to come back around.
You ever heard of this
bike? Freako needs to come back around.
I don't even know if you know this. There's a bike company called Animal Bikes, and they have like a griffin head, and he snuck that head into your album cover art.
Which griffin head? What is the griffin head?
It's like it looks like an eagle head, or not an eagle, but it's like a bird head.
Yeah.
And it's this iconic BMX company, basically, and like on the Mr. Wonderful cover art, I believe it is.
Yeah.
He snuck it in there, so it's like a little bit of an homage to a famous BMX brand, yeah.
But those eagles are like the eagles that
Oh, yeah, see? That thing right there.
But oh, yeah?
Let me see.
Look
up the
kinda,
Mr. Wonderful cover art for me.
It's kind of like that. It's two like fucking eagles perched on the corner while I'm split Van Damme style, you know?
It was just like a little homage, I feel like.
Yeah, it has a little.
But Rico's that kind of
guy.
It
has a tinge.
Yeah, it has a tinge. They were like the first BMX company that really fucked with rap, that put out videos that were all rap and stuff. So it's like, for him to do that, it was like everybody in BMX was like, oh man, that was a great move on his part.
I mean, that did a lot for him, man. Yeah, man. You know, doing a lot of those illustrations.
Yeah, see right here? See how it's got that little bird head? Perfect.
Oh,
just
yeah,
like the one
yeah,
we just
yeah,
showed
yeah,
you, right?
Yeah. Damn, fucking bastard.
Teaching you about your own album art. This is crazy.
It's beautiful.
Hey, man. It's been a real honor, honestly. It's
beautiful times.
Thank you so much, man. This is a great interview.
Thank
Everybody check out
me.
Action Bronson. The show, the book, the movie, everything, man.
We out here.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.